All right, come on. How's everybody doing this morning? Feeling good? Hey, if it's your first time at True Life, my name is Michael. I'm the lead pastor. We are thrilled to have you here for baptism weekend, as well as those of you joining us online. Would you all get loud and rowdy? Help me welcome first-time guests and everybody who's watching online. We are so glad that you are here, and man, just so excited for baptism weekend. But the last 4 weeks have been so great. I'm just going to go ahead and talk about politics one more weekend, if that's all right with you guys. I was just kidding. I'm not doing that. We're going to talk about baptism, but I do want to just real quick. I wanted to say thank you because honestly, in all my years of ministry, I've been doing this ever since I graduated high school in 1998. There it is. That's the year. Have been doing ministry my whole life, and honestly, never have received so much encouragement from all of you during a series, and so I appreciate that. And I want to encourage you, even after the election season is over. Come on, let's stay. Let's stay clear and courage. Let's live with conviction. Come on, everybody. And compassion. Let's where we ended up last week. And so you can go find that online if you didn't have a chance to be here for the last 4 weeks. Before I get into the message or share anything else with you this morning, I do want to take a moment to pray over a special group of people. This week, a handful of our church members will be hopping on an airplane for a very long ride across the Atlantic Ocean as we send a missions team to the continent of Africa, specifically to South Africa, to work with an organization there called Blessman International. And it's going to be an incredible, incredible time of ministry for that team. So Pastor Perry is going to join me on the platform. He and Penny are leading the team who are going to Africa. And if you are going on the trip and leaving this week to go to Africa, wherever you are, would you just stand to your feet real quick? Just stand up. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All of our Africa team, stand to your feet. Awesome. Stay standing if you would, and I'm going to cover Pastor Perry. I'm going to ask if you are sitting near someone who is standing right now, would you just stand and join them, place a hand on their shoulder? If you're not near them, just stretch a hand in their direction. We're just going to pray over the team this morning as they head out to serve and minister. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this incredible group of people who have a heart to serve you, specifically in missions. And God, we know you're going to do transformational work in their lives. Some of them you're going to call into missions work this weekend. You're going to stir something up new in their hearts. And God, we just pray for your anointing on this team as they travel. We pray over Pastor Perry and Penny as they lead, God, that your anointing and your grace would be on them, that everybody would stay healthy, that all of their bodies would work correctly, and no reactions to food or water. And Lord, we pray that for the flight, God, that it would be smooth, no turbulence, everything would work perfectly. Most of all, God, we pray for souls. We pray for souls to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you would do transformational work in the lives of each and every person they come in contact with. And we just thank you, God, for the way that you're going to use them in Jesus' name. Can I remember what we said? Amen, amen. Come on, let's just celebrate what God's going to do over the next couple weeks. And so proud of you guys. When we brought Pastor Perry on staff, one of the mandates that I gave him was, listen, before you ride off into the sunset, whenever you decide to do that, leave us with a reproducible, repeatable missions program that gets people overseas serving. And so this is kind of the first step into doing that. And they're already talking about a trip for next year, I believe, to the Dominican Republic to work with our friends at Children's Cup. And so if the Lord's kind of stirring something in your heart there, let us know on a connection card, or you can talk to Pastor Perry and pray for him specifically. You know, he just had a knee replacement and now the other knee's giving him a little bit of trouble. So let's just ask God to heal it, if nothing else, temporarily while they're on this trip. Amen. And a little help while he's baptizing today wouldn't be bad either. All right. hey, next week, I just want to let you know, we're going to do a short 2-week series entitled We Are Generous, as we turn our attention towards the holiday season and reaching people and giving to people. We're going to spend a couple weeks talking about that and celebrating some of your generosity. And I just wanted to do that this morning, honestly, if I could. It's been a fun couple of weeks. You know, Perry and the team will go to Africa, where already one of our church members said, hey, for some health reasons, I can't go on the trip, but I'd love to contribute something, and wrote a very sizable check to dig a brand new well to provide clean water to the community that we'll be serving over there. And yeah, isn't that awesome? I love that. And then you guys responded to our hurricane relief in a way that, honestly, we were blown away. We were not expecting that at all. And so between those two things, we've sent well over $25,000 out over the last couple weeks just to serve and love people. I'm just so proud of you, church. That's a pretty incredible thing to do. And so I just applaud you for your generosity. And we'll spend a couple weeks talking about why God wants us to be generous and celebrating what God's been doing through your generosity. So just want to remind you, though, right after this two-week series, come on, y'all know what's coming? Come on, at the movies, November 17th to December 8th. And listen, next week when you come to church, invite cards will be on all the seats and in the lobby. I want you just to grab, let's fill the house for At the Movies this year. Between At the Movies and Christmas, we have a beautiful opportunity to win people to Jesus. Five Christmas services this year that we'll be hosting here at True Life, and we're just believing for a harvest of souls, people who are going to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then jump into the discipleship journey. I'm going to preach fast today because we're going to do something a little bit different in baptisms, and I want you to know there are a handful of people who signed up ahead of time to get baptized today. But some of you, before the end of this message, you're going to sense the Holy Spirit nudging you, saying, you need to do that. You need to do that. And in fact, as I said it right there, some of you already, the Holy Spirit was like, mm-hmm. And so if that happens for you, I want to give you permission at any point during the message today, if you're like, man, I got to do this. I need to get water baptized. I want you to get up and leave. Nobody will be offended. In fact, if you're mad and don't like the message, we'll just assume you're leaving to get baptized. Nobody will care. All right, so I want you to go to the lobby where there is a table set up and everything you need today to get baptized, we have ready for you. And I'll talk more about that at the end of the message. I want to start today with a couple of statements. I'll preach fast and then we'll get to baptism. One statement, one question. All right, the first statement is this: that the right direction tomorrow starts with the right decision today. The right direction tomorrow starts with the right decision today. I don't always like this, but it's true. I am exactly where my choices brought me, right? There's some other factors, family systems, things we grew up in, trauma, all those kinds of things. Even that, you get to decide whether or not you're going to own it and address it and get healthy. I'm exactly where my choices brought me. So I just want you to kind of ponder this thought today, that the right direction tomorrow starts with the right decision today. We'll come back to that a little bit later. We'll talk about some decisions we could make today. I also want to ask you a question. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean? To be a follower of Jesus. I think the word follower, even for us in our kind of our current cultural reality, it means something completely different than it might have meant when people were first making their decisions to follow Jesus. When Jesus was calling the disciples and he shows up and he says, hey guys, come follow me. Come be with me. I'll be your rabbi, I'll be your teacher, you'll be my disciples. We're gonna launch this thing together. Come follow me. Follower in today's culture means something different, doesn't it? We've all got technology, we've got social media, and in fact, you can kind of decide if you're gonna friend or unfriend, right? Follow or unfollow. Like you can kind of be like, or I like the new one, I think one of the social media platforms now says, take a break from this person. Have y'all seen that? Come on, you ever had anybody in your life that you wish you could press that button? Like, you know what? Some of you are like, my spouse? No, that's not. It's not. No. It's like following, I don't think for us, meant what it meant for the early followers of Jesus. Today, everybody who gets baptized will be wearing a shirt like this. This is not my size, obviously. But we'll be wearing a shirt that says, come on, everybody, say it. I've decided to follow Jesus. They're lyrics to a song that if you've grown up in church, you're familiar with. We We even sing it here as a kind of a tag onto another song. But I grew up with this, and maybe you're old enough to remember Billy Graham preaching to stadiums and in the Crusades, and they would play this song at the end of the message as thousands of people would come and respond to the message of Jesus and surrender their lives to him. And we would sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And there's other verses to that song. By the way, you guys sound beautiful. Give yourselves a hand. Worship team, take note of who's been holding out on you. I think I've shared this with you in the past. There's actually a story behind the lyrics to that song. They come from 19th century India, where a man named Noksing, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, it's spelled N-O-K-S-E-N-G, who was a member of the Garo tribe, G-A-R-O. He and his family became one of the very first to respond to missionaries who were sharing the gospel of Jesus with their tribe. And they converted to Christianity. They gave their lives to Jesus. And when the tribe found out that they were converting, they began to persecute their family. And they began to say, no, you're not going to believe this message of Jesus. We're not going to allow you to do that, to the point that they eventually brought him and his family out in front of the rest of the tribe and said, renounce Jesus or else. And he said, no. I'm not. They said, listen, renounce Jesus or we're going to torture and murder your family right in front of you. And his response was, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And one by one, they tortured and murdered his wife and children in front of him. And they said, renounce Jesus or else. And he said, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. And they said, okay, this is your last chance. Renounce your faith in Jesus or we're taking your life from you. And he said, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. And they murdered him. He was martyred for his faith in Jesus. How many know that's a different kind of follow than the follow we know today? It takes a different kind of conviction, a different kind of commitment to follow like that. In Mark chapter 8, verse 27, Jesus and his disciples have left Galilee and they're headed up to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. I want you to know that anytime your Bible gives you geography, it's for a reason. So ask yourself, why is that there? Why is it telling me that? Caesarea Philippi was like headquarters for idol worship and false religion. And so they're in this place where I kind of think it's almost like, it's as if Jesus is able to say to his disciples, hey guys, look around at all the world has to offer you. Look at all your options. And in that moment, in that context, as he's walking through the idols and the pagan worship and all the options that the world could offer, he asks them, hey, look around you and all these different things that people are giving their attention to. And I'm just curious, what are people saying about me? Who do they say I am? And his disciples respond, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you're one of the other prophets. And the reason they respond that way is because at this time in history, there's a group of Jews who actually believe in the idea of reincarnation. And so they're thinking Jesus has come back, that Jesus is one of these guys brought back. In fact, John the Baptist, it wasn't even that long ago that he had been martyred. And others say you're one of the other prophets. And he asks them, what do you say? What do you guys think? And Peter replies first, because Peter always replied first. Sometimes he Sometimes it got him in trouble and sometimes it didn't. But this is one of the ones where he gets it right and he says, "You're the Messiah," or some translations say, "You're the Christ. You're the one we've been waiting for." And then Jesus warned them not to tell anybody about him. He says, "Peter, you're right. But just let's keep it between us for right now. Like, this is going to cause problems if we start telling everybody." And then, so Peter's like, "You're the guy. You're the one we've been waiting for." And Jesus is like, "Yes, I am. Also, I need to tell you that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He's going to be killed, but 3 days later, he'll rise from the dead." Can you imagine? You're at this, everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, it really is him." The disciples like, "It's him, it's the Messiah." And then Jesus is like, "Yeah, it's me. Also, I'm going to die." Talk about having the wind taken out of your sails. And remember, Peter is always Peter. Sometimes he gets it right, sometimes he doesn't. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter grabs Jesus. The same guy who just a second ago is like, "You're the Messiah." Peter grabs Jesus, like, "Jesus, come with me." And he begins to reprimand. He's like, "Hey, dude, you can't talk like that. Jesus, what are you doing?" Because Peter's thinking that the Messiah is going to lead a military revolution to set them free from Roman captivity. This is what they thought the Messiah was going to do. They weren't expecting a sacrifice. They weren't expecting what Jesus was going to. And so Peter's like, "Hey, Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but this is not how you rally the troops. You don't tell them the leader's going to die. What are you doing?" And as he's reprimanding him, Jesus turns and looks back at the disciples, and then he reprimands Peter, and he says, "Get away from me, Satan." He said, "You are seeing things merely from a," what? "Human point of view, not from whose?" It's like, "Peter, look, man, you got part of it right, but you don't understand the whole plan." And then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my," what? "Follower." Listen to me, y'all. That's one of the most important commas in your Bible. Because he says, if you're going to be my follower, I'm going to tell you what it looks like. And then he explains. Like, how many think this is something we should probably lean into? Because he's going to tell us what it looks like. He says, if you're going to follow me, you got to do what? Yay. Give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. If you're willing to say, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And he says, what do you benefit anyway if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Luke records the same conversation with a little extra detail. He says, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Double yay. Daily. And follow me. Over the last several weeks, we talked about how there can be this progression of transgression, this progression of sin, but did you know there's another option? There can also be a progression in your spiritual development. You can grow as a follower of Jesus. And years ago, a guy by the name of Rick Warren came up with these five words to describe these five levels of discipleship. And I just think it's beautiful language that he gives to us. And I want to share these with you today because all of us in the room are in one of these five places. And he says, everything begins with the crowd. There were times where Jesus would just gather the crowd. Hey, just come and see. He would even maybe do a miracle to gather the crowd. Just like, hey, come see this. Come. When he calls the disciples, what's the first thing he does? He's like, he fills the boat full of fish for them. How many know, like, they're like, okay. You have my attention. It begins with the crowd, which is just come and see. Come and check this out. Come see what's going on here. There are things we do as a church even where we try to model this. The idea is, hey, just come and see. Come and see. You guys are about to be incredibly generous in this season. We've got so many things coming up. We have a veterans luncheon. We have a first responders breakfast. We've got Christmas shop that's right around the corner. Get that on your calendars for December, everybody, where we're going to convert the whole church into a shopping mall for families who just need a little help for Christmas. And what you know what we're doing? We're just creating environments where we say, hey, come check this out. Come and see. This is what At the Movies is. Like, I'm just going to tell you, not a lot of deep doctrinal truth going to be revealed during At the Movies. Why? Because this is a season where we're saying to the person who's maybe on the outside looking in, hey, just come see that. Just come see God's people. Come see what this is all about. Come find out what happens when you give everybody caffeine and popcorn at 10 in the morning. Just come and see. Come and see. But how many know this is not where God wants us to stay? Like, he doesn't want us to stay in the crowd. Eventually, hopefully, you become a part of the congregation, which is the come and join. Hopefully, you reach a point where you go, you know what, I don't want to just do life by myself. I need a spiritual family. I need to be a part of something bigger than myself. Come and join. There was an invitation from Jesus. He would do things in the crowd, and then he would say, hey, if you want to follow me, come on. Come and join. And then even beyond that, you can become a member, you can attend regularly, and you take as long as you need to in either of these, you kick the tires as long as you need to, but our prayer for you is that eventually maybe you don't come once a month, you come most of the Sundays in a month. That you really lean into making a commitment to being a part of God's people and God's family. Not for our benefit. None of this was our idea. It was Jesus' idea. So we're just trying to play out what he was wanting to accomplish. And once you become committed, now it's about come and grow. How many know God doesn't want to leave you where you are? He wants to grow something in you. He wants to see you grow in your knowledge of Christ and your knowledge of the Word and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then even beyond the committed, there's a group of people who were here today long before any of you showed up. They were sound checking the instruments and they're sitting in the booth and they're on the cameras and they were brewing the coffee and greeting you at the front door. And we call them Dream Team, but they're what you would call the core. And they've understood that there's even another step beyond where I was when I was just committed. And now it's come and serve. And this is where something beautiful actually begins to happen. The transition between these is when you start to realize Jesus isn't just my Savior, he's my Lord. And it's not just about everything that God does for me, it's also what can I do for him? Come and serve. And if you want to mature as a follower of Jesus, at some point, you'll have to take ownership of it yourself, and you'll have to say, you know what? I've spent enough time in the crowd. It's time to join the family. And you know what? It's not enough just to come and consume, but I also want to grow, and I want to contribute. I think one of the greatest marks of maturity in a believer's life is when they transition from consumer to contributor. And there's a step even beyond that. It's what that man and his family in India understood. And that is what we would call the commissioned. And they know that Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to be willing to die for it. Not just a physical death, but I have to be willing to put my desires at the altar of Jesus, my preferences at the altar of Jesus, my opinions at the altar of Jesus. Have to be willing to let my flesh die. This is what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross. Following Jesus is not a self-help tactic. It will help you, but at its core, it's about shaping our lives into the model of Jesus. Come and die. And I just want to give this to you today in two ways. Number one, this is an invitation. It's a welcome. If you're a crowd, if you're just in the crowd and you're trying to figure out, like, is this for me? When you're ready, when the Holy Spirit does what he needs to do in your heart, you have an open invitation to go from crowd to congregation. To show up at step one of Life Track and find out, what's it mean to be a part of the family here, to really call this home? And our prayer for you is that eventually you would really become committed and take ownership of your own spiritual development, your own, and so then you start being strategic about, you know what small groups am I going to be in, and where's God leading me in, and am I really accountable, or am I just kind of trying to figure out my own version of this? Come and grow. And then our prayer is that you would become a part of the core, come and serve, not because the church needs you to do things. There's always stuff to do, like that's never going to end. We don't create serving opportunities for the church. We create serving opportunities because it's part of how we grow as disciples. To come and serve. And there's an invitation to become the commissioned and go to Africa. To be willing to say, I'll do anything. I'll do anything God asks me to do. You have an open invitation to take. Everybody is one of these five places, and you have an open invitation today to take your next step. Amen? But there's also a warning. You can go both directions. In fact, one of the most heartbreaking things I've witnessed through all of my years of ministry is people who've taken the step from crowd to congregation to committed, maybe even to serve, and they're in the core, but then something happens. Something happens in your life. Maybe it's a tragic event, or somebody offends you, or the pastor spends 4 weeks on politics. And you, something sucks you out of the process of maturity and back into a process of immature. Like, you can either progress or you can regress. And I just want to warn you, if you've made it to the serve and then you stop, then now you're contemplating whether or not, am I going to keep growing or not? And if you make the decision not to own your spiritual development, then you'll start wrestling with, well, do I even want to be here? Do I even belong to this place? And you'll start finding everything wrong. And I just want to let you know, you'll always find what you're looking for. And you'll start blabbing about it and gossiping, and then you'll find yourself on the fringe, which if you're doing that, knock it off. We're not going to let you keep doing it. Amen. Love you. And you'll just find, you know, I'll come and see every once in a while, and then you'll go somewhere else, and you'll repeat the problem. You can either progress or you can regress. Is that too harsh for you guys? So you have an open invitation to identify where you are and take your step. Now, let's take the rest of the time and talk about really probably these people in these first two, crowd and congregation. In Acts chapter 2, there's this beautiful story. It's the beginning of the New Testament church. It's every single one of us. It's our history. It's our roots. It's where we come from. And there's this moment where the Holy Spirit descends on the believers in the upper room, and they start speaking in tongues, and there's little flames of fire over their head, and this crowd gathers to try to figure out what's going on, and guess who steps out to talk to them? Peter. Peter steps out and preaches a message on the first day of the New Testament church. And it says that those who accepted his message were what? Baptized. Come on, they were what? Baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That is a great church launch. That's a good first day. They were baptized. There was a baptism that took place. With all 3,000, that was not convenient. It takes a long time to baptize 3,000 people. That's a lot. So today, if you're in the crowd or even the congregation, but you've not taken this step of baptism, or maybe, I just want you to know, just the doctrinal side of this, our church believes in what is doctrinally known as the believer's baptism. So maybe you grew up in an environment of a mainline church or a Catholic church that at some point when you were a child or a baby, somebody sprinkled something on you. And we're not throwing any shade at that. I just want you to know there's really not any biblical precedent for it. It's kind of just I know it's a meaningful moment, and I'm not trying to take that away from anybody. But what the scriptures refer to is is people who accepted the message. So to be at an age and a moment where you go, what? I'm doing this. I'm following Jesus. You're a believer. That's what we call the believer's baptism. They accepted his message and were baptized, and about 3,000 that day. And so I just want to give you quickly three reasons why we take this step and why, if you haven't, I think you should. And number one, it's to follow the example set by Jesus. Y'all know Jesus was baptized. And we do it to be representative of our regeneration, the death of our flesh and our old sinful self, and to be brought into a new life with Christ. We identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. How many know Jesus didn't need to be baptized? He didn't have any sin to be forgiven of, but he did it to set an example for us. And so we follow the example of Jesus. We use this passage in our disciple series earlier this year. Follow, everybody say follow. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. And I want you to know, if you get water baptized today, you are following the example of hundreds in our church, thousands and millions around the world throughout all of history, of believers who are following the example of Jesus. And listen, I know it's scary for some if you like more of an introvert personality. I'm not even an introvert personality, and I grew up in church, and it took me years to work up the courage to get water baptized. All my friends had done it. I was like the last one. I was a holdout. It wasn't until I was 16 years old, having grown up in church and knowing that I was going to give my life to ministry, that I finally had the moment where I was like, you know what? I'm doing this. So I get it. But I'm so glad that I did, that I took that step and followed the example of Jesus. 1 John 2:4 says, someone may say I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, I belong to Christ, but if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to, then you're not. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, everybody. Shocker, I know. I think you guys know what you can talk about next week in Kids Life over there, all right? Here's the second reason we get baptized. It's to demonstrate my changed life. Come on, how many know you're better with Jesus than you were before Jesus, right? It's to demonstrate my changed life. 1 Peter 3:21 says, in baptism, we show that we have been saved from death and doom by the resurrection of Christ. Not because our bodies are washed clean by the water. It is clean water, though. We treat it and it's filtered like you're good. But because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking him to cleanse our hearts from sin. It's not our bodies that are getting cleansed today, although I hope you've showered. Come on, how many know, like every day I need Jesus to cleanse me. Every day I need to be washed. Every day I need to be made new. And then finally, we get baptized to declare our commitment to Jesus publicly. It's a public declaration that, hey, I belong to Jesus. Don't care who knows it. And in our church, we actually believe the public part of this is very important. Occasionally through the years, people would come to me or to a member of our team, and they'll say, hey, can I arrange like a private baptism without all the people? And we just very gently, very respectfully, we just go, you know, that's not really what the scriptures support. It kind of part of it is being out in front of people, your family, your friends, your church family, and saying, I don't care who knows it, I belong to Jesus. It's a public declaration of our faith. And in fact, what's awesome about the time that we do it in now is through the miracle of technology. Like, anybody who randomly finds the link could find your baptism. Like, you know, it could happen anywhere in the world. It's a public declaration. Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Would you stand to your feet all over the room? And I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment. Just nobody looking around for just a second. Before we get to baptism, I want to ask, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you surrendered to him? Have you had a moment where you say, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross and paid for my sin, and 3 days later he rose. He broke the curse of sin off my life. Here's what's cool today. You could take 2 steps in your discipleship journey if you want to. You could make Jesus Lord of your life, and you could go public with your faith in water baptism all at one time. But if you're here today and you're ready for the first step, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need to surrender my life to Jesus, and I've not done it yet. Nobody looking around right now, please. If that's you, would you just wave a hand at me? Just say, hey, Pastor, I need to surrender to Jesus today. Anybody? Just wave your hand at me real quick. Won't call you to the front. Won't embarrass you. Not going to make you get baptized. Just want to know if you're ready to surrender to Jesus today. Anybody? I see it. Anybody else? Just wave your hand at me. If you're watching online or you raised your hand just now and you're ready to make Jesus Lord of your life, wherever you're at, just say, dear Jesus, today I surrender to you my whole life. I don't want to be the Lord of my life. I need you to be the Lord of my life. Please forgive me of all my sin. Thank you for paying for it on the cross. Thank you that you rose from the dead 3 days later and you broke the curse of sin off of my life. And now I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, Jesus, that you are the Lord of my life. From this day on, teach me to be your disciple and to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate as heaven grows a little bit this morning?